Let's learn. Last time we talked about kidney transplants, we began to speak about it, organ donation, specifically kidneys. And if I remember correctly, we discussed whether you're allowed to give a kidney, and kind of whether it was too dangerous to do. And we found that there were some poskim that said that you were not even allowed to do it, and that the doctor is doing an aver if he lets you. But it would seem that that was a product of the times, when it was considered much more dangerous and was much more dangerous. But nowadays, almost every posek in the world agrees that not only is it possible and mutter to give a kidney specifically, but it's even laudable. And we'll see how laudable it is right now. We'll see how great it is right now. Because the next question that we're asking is, do I have to? And we kind of alluded to this last time. By saying, once it becomes mutter, so why isn't it even obligatory? All right, so why would I think it would be obligatory? And why would I think that it wouldn't be obligatory? Well, why would I think that it would be obligatory? Because, as we saw in the Gemara Sanhedrin, and it's actually the third source on the sheet that that only Andrew has and David over there has. The third source says, "Aros fina sheyesh ba." Actually, no. Let's not jump all the way to there. Let's just mention again the Gemara that we saw last time. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's not on the sheet now. Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if a man sees someone drowning in a river, or he sees bandits attacking someone, or if he sees animals attacking, so he has to do what he can in order to save the person. And the Gemara says that if he doesn't, he violates at least lo tamar adam riecha. Not standing idly by while your friend is in danger, and probably also violates vashevotolo of failing to return to him his life, which is a kal vachomer from returning to him his property. So why isn't it the case that we all have to do everything possible to save everybody in the world, including donating kidneys? Why shouldn't we have to? We should all run to the nearest hospital and immediately donate. So why is that the truth? Is that the case? So in order to establish whether or not that's the case, well, I think we talked about this last time. Why might we think that that's not the case? How would an argument go if you wanted, if you come home tonight and your daughter asks you, "Abba, how come you haven't given a kidney yet?" How do you justify it? How do you answer? David, how do you answer? One of the Davids in the room. How do you answer? Your daughter asks you, "How come you haven't given a kidney?" What do you say?
Save everybody.
Oh, okay. So you'll say, all right, so when do you have to save somebody?
Somebody around you, I'd have to come in.
Actually see somebody that he's in danger.
Okay, so you want to say only if you see somebody in danger. All right.
But if the guy is he's not exactly in danger, if you don't give him a kidney, he might die, but it's not that he's in a clear and present danger right this minute.
So you're saying two things. You're saying, number one, he has to be in front of me. And number two, he has to be imminently in danger. In other words, he has to be imminent death.
There are people who need kidneys that are out there.
Right.
And he's not in front of you. You don't see him. You have to go actively and go and find these people that need
Now body. You're saying something else. You're saying, okay, other people can do it.
No. I'm not saying other people do it. I said you have to actively go and seek these
people. You have some crazy people who are willing to give their kidneys, so why do I have to?
It's not like I'm going next to the beach.
Yeah, we have a crazy person there who just gave their kidneys.
Drowning.
Right.
I'm not Baywatch. I'm just
first reference of that. First and last reference.
I'm just, the average person.
No, right. You have to be a doctor. Do we all have to be doctors in the world?
Okay, good. All right, so I heard at least three arguments there. No, I heard number one, that they have to be in front of me now. Number two, they have to be immediately in danger. And number three, other people can do it. Why do I have to do it in this case? Maybe you can sit back. Any other arguments that you can make?
I've got a question to ask Jack. Was this person in danger that you gave the kidney to?
Let's just keep it about the general.
Any other? Oh, you're saying, how far do I have to go? Now, what did we see in the Gemara? The Gemara said you have to go at least as far as spending money. It did say that, remember? Okay, so let's use that as a jumping off point, because that's the first point that I want to make, and then we'll swing around back to the other points. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Kol ha'averot shebatorah chutz me'avodat kochavim v'gidur ha'arayot u'shichat damim," everything except for the big three, "im omrim lo adam sheyavor aleim o yahareg, im u'betzina yavor v'al yahareg," if anybody ever tells you, they put a gun to your head and they say, "Eat pig or I'm going to kill you," so Yavor v'al yarek. You should eat pig and not let them kill you. V'im yirtze lahachmir asma. What if you say, okay, but I don't want to eat pig. I don't like it. I never ate pig in my life. I'm not going to start now. Liharig rashai im ovid kachavim mechavim lahavir al dat. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if the reason why the non-Jew is forcing you to do it is because he, Dafka wants you to violate, not because he just wants you to eat pig, not because, you know, he's got some kind of fetish about eating, people eating pig in front of him, but because he wants the Jew to eat pig, then it's mutter to let him kill you. Why? Because it's basically Kiddush Hashem. You're being Mekayeh in the midst of Kiddush Hashem. But if it's just the case that he just wants you to do it because he gets a kick out of watching people eat pig, so then there's no reason to do it. Haga, the Rama says, "Vim yuchal hatzil atzmo b'kol asher lo, tzarich liten hakol v'lo yavor alo tase." In those circumstances, a person says, "I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to take all your money, unless you eat pig." You have to say, "Take all my money." You have to take all my money. Ubamalkam sharmu kol mi sheyesh be'ado limchol dveinu mocha hu nitpa. Okay, that's the point. So you have to give up everything rather than transgress even one lo ta'aseh. With regards to mitzvot aseh, the rules are different. In order to be a mekayem mitzvot aseh, as we said last time, I think, you only have to spend up to a fifth of your money. You're not supposed to even spend more than a fifth of your money. We said this last time, right? If you've got food in front of you and you're starving to death, and there's a cheeseburger that costs $3, and there's a regular burger that costs $10, and all you have is $10, what do you have to do? You have to buy the burger for $10 because otherwise you're over on the mitzvah of not eating basar b'chalav. However, if the only etrog available to you at all in the whole world costs $10 and all you have is $10, even more than that, if all you have is $49, right? You don't have to buy the etrog. You don't have to. You're pater from the mitzvah taseh. But, be that as it may, you have to spend all of your money to avoid violating a mitzvat lo ta'aseh. The Shach points out, that's what I just told you. Shach says. So this is true in terms of spending all of your money. You have to spend all of your money in order to avoid a mitzvat lo ta'aseh. But what about sakanat ever? What happens if you're going to lose a limb? Not losing your life. You're not going to die. He's not threatening to kill you. He's gonna laser off your arm. So it'll cauterize the wound immediately. You won't bleed out. But you're going to lose an arm. All right? Tzarech iyun. Idami lamamon o lenefesh. Shach says, honestly, I'm not sure. Is that more similar to money? Or is it similar to your life? Ayin barivash venire lekula. It would seem that it's more similar to your life and that you should not give up a limb. You don't have to give up a limb in order to save somebody else's life. Okay? Now, how do we view kidneys? Is that the same as a limb? It's a piece of your body that you don't need. So, you know, it's not the same thing as a limb. Are you allowed to give up a limb? That's the other thing that the Shach doesn't seem to be answering. Are you allowed to give up a limb? Like, you're not allowed to give up your life for an Avera, Stam Avera. But are you allowed to give up a limb? God. Sounds like a tzarachian. Menira lekula, but given the fact that he's unsure, I would argue that that's reason enough to say that at least it's not a vera if you do so.
Right.
Okay. Now,
what are the three forbidden ones again?
Idolatry, adultery, and murder. And chilul Hashem, but that's a whole different story.
To murder someone because you'll be dead yourself.
He says, kill
no, if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, shoot that guy or I'm going to kill you. So you say, shoot me. I'm not gonna kill somebody. How do I know that my life is worth more than that person's life? Now, here's another interesting source. So this is an Or HaChaim source. Or HaChaim, of course, the difference is, Shulchan Aruch, this is supposed to be day-to-day life. How does this ever come up in day-to-day life? So here it comes up in Hilchot Shabbat. How does this whole subject comes up in Hilchot Shabbat? Hares Fina. You see a boat, Sheyesh Yisrael, Hamaturefet Bayam. The boat is capsizing. V'chein nahar shotef, or the river is raging. V'chein yachira nirdaf b'bnei akum. You see a non-Jew chasing after a Jew. Mitzvah al kol adam lechalel aleim Shabbat kedei latzilam. You have to violate Shabbos in order to save the person. Excuse me. So the Mishnah Berurah comments. Mishnah Berurah says, U'mikol makom mimish sakana lehamatzil, enu mechuyav techayav kodem lechayei chaver. However, if your life will be endangered, you don't have to do anything. Vafilu savik sakana nami adir sveiko dide mivadai de chavero. Even if you're only putting yourself into a doubt, into a situation where you're in danger, you putting yourself in danger is not worth it, even if you're going to save the person's life. Nevertheless, that usually doesn't come up in terms of a shikul. However, and this is an important line in the Mishnah Berurah, ulam tzarech lishkol advarim heitev. Im yesh bo safek sakana v'lo ledaktik biyoter ke'ota sh'amru ha'medaktik atzmo v'kach bali dekach. Quotes the Pinchas Chuvah, who says that you have to be realistic about the statistics here. You can't just say, you know, I'm not going to save that guy because to save him I have to cross the street. It's dangerous to cross the street, right? You can't say that. You can't be the kind of person that says, I'm not going to go outside, the Gemara says, I'm not going to go outside because maybe a lion will attack me. Right? What are the chances? It's possible. Anything's possible. But you have to be serious about it. You can't be a coward and lazy just because you don't want to do something. Or even if you're, you know, paranoid, you have to be serious about it. And he says, and the Gemara says, I'm a daktik badavar, I'm a daktik, what does it say? I'm a daktik asmon bakach bali tekach. There's going to be a tit for tat. If you are so paranoid about something and you therefore don't save the person, you can be sure it's going to come around to get you in the end. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah says we have to be realistic about this, about the statistics. So what would he say about, let's say, for instance, kidney donation? A person is afraid. What would you say about that? Now it's interesting. Maybe we'll have to get back to this. What happens if a person wants to give a kidney, but a family member doesn't want them to, because the family member is afraid? Now the person talks to till he's blue in the face, and says it's not dangerous. I got the statistics. Everything's going to be fine.
Family member tell him what to do.
I mean,
okay, good.
Like, it's not like a... Well, it kind of depends who the family member is, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Yeah, if it's a cousin, I don't care. No. You know, maybe it's a brother, I don't care. What if it's a parent?
Right, okay.
What if it's a child? What if it's a wife? Mm. Now, leaving aside the organization's rules about these things, which I'm told are that if anybody objects, right, at least if the wife objects... If the spouse objects, then it's not happening. Anything about a parent?
No,
child?
Most people don't. Actually, the circle don't tell the parents. Because they don't worry them until it's...
Right.
My dad was in hospital.
They don't let you do it until you're 24, so you can't do it until you're of a certain age.
Right.
They want you to be
worldly
and have enough perspective.
My dad was in hospital because they needed blood. So I went to Morgan with the Dominator and they said, I want them to donate blood. They looked at my record. I'm sorry, you can't donate blood because of your kidneys and your blah, 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 whatever. I thought that at the time, before I started alcohol.
Right.
So he said, Dad, I'm sorry, I couldn't donate for you because my kidneys and whatever. He said, I know.
Which is another great question, by the way. We're going to get back to this later. When we talk about from two perspectives, to whom should you give your kidneys? Kidney. And... from whom should you take, or from whom, who gets the first right to give to you? You'll see what I'm talking about later. But either way, the point of bringing this to Shabuah is to say that you have to be realistic about the statistics, which may apply both to the person giving and also to those around. You know, what happens if, is it okay for somebody to say, I don't want you to give because I'm scared, even though there's really nothing to be scared of? Okay, a few tshuvas over here from Moshe Schnurnbach. Moshe Schnurnbach is one of the heads of Eda Haredes now, and he was a rabbi in South Africa for many, many years. I remember Rabbi Bella told me once that he was on a plane with Rav Schnurnbach, and he saw him sitting and writing tshuvas, like just writing them, just like one after another. He's up to 6 or 7 volumes now, and the tshuvas are nice and short, and they're big, thick volumes, and they're interesting tshuvas. They're on, like, interesting topics. Yeah, he lives in Yerushalayim. So... he has at least three different tshuvas that I found on the topic. He says, "Bachuratzi ira l'ktaba kiliyotav, v'achea shoel im alav l'itnadev l'trom l'achad mikiliyotav." Sister got sick; she needs a kidney. The brother wants to give it. Harofim to'anim shoratzui she'achad mimnei mishpacha hachi korvim itnadvu l'akliya. The doctors say that it should be somebody very close. V'achea shehu bachur muchan muzman l'akiv v'achad mikiliyotav. Avon nishalti mitavon chacham echad ma'ud in Torah im chayev al muter o asar. So he asked, "Can I give it to? Can I give it to her?" Even though I've heard from doctors that there's nothing dangerous, it's painful and it's inconvenient and it's uncomfortable. And it could be dangerous in the future. And he's saving her from a lot of pain, and even maybe her life. So he's the first one that we're seeing that really sets down the rule. He says, it's a midat chasidut. Do you have to do it? No. Is it bad to do it? No. Is it good to do it? Yes. Midat chasidut. And this is the brother. Keep in mind, this is the brother who, you know, you can't get closer than that pretty much to a person feeling a special relationship with the person. So he said it only rises to the level of midat chasidut. Next one. Nira baro she'enu mechuyav latet min hadin achad mekuyotav kidei latzil chaviro shechayav kodmin, says you don't have to because your life comes first. V'akleyotem chelik miyatzim chiyut ha'adam v'enu mechuyav. V'afilu neme shebiyara b'regel hava rak ever mechuyav. Mikomakom b'kleyot shu chelik be'ever shanishama tluyabo lo chivato latet chelik mechuyot ha'latzil chaviro. It sounds like he's saying that your kidney is even more essential than your arm or your leg. Even though, of course, the kidney is more dispensable than your arm or your leg, but he's saying it's something your health is dependent upon it, as opposed to your hands and your legs, which is not dependent upon it in the same way. So says there's another thing you have to be worried about, which is you're not allowed to cause harm to yourself. You're not allowed to just, you know, rip off a limb if just because you feel like it. Nevertheless, haynu k'shein b'zeh toelet. Avakan kavanato lahatzil nefesh lo nikrach ovel u'mutar. But here, that's not the intention. The intention is not stam to do it, but rather to give it away and donate it. Last one. Mir nira l'anitayti d'chayecha kodmin hanyomu n'mipasach v'chayecha y'chayimach nechlal b'zeh gam evra amechia v'haynu shafilum yafsid miktzat chiyuto. Basically, he's saying again, you don't have to. And he goes on, he says, "Eino chayav la'akriv." There's no chiyuv min hadin, and rotze li'itchased l'kayem mitzvah v'zeh mafriya la zchuta li'itnaged kevan shehitchatna imo b'tur adam shalem. Now, here's what he's talking about. What happens if the wife says, "I don't want you to"? So he says, since it's not a chiyuv, it's not even like a kiyum, I wouldn't say it's not a kiyum mitzvah. It's not like a mitzvah that everybody goes around doing, and it's not a chiyuv. And the wife can claim, I married you because you were a whole person. It's a strange claim, but that's what she says. V'alav la'ashpia le'a b'nimut, he should try to convince her, she'en b'zecha shash sakana v'ro, v'amitzvah rabba, u'baskama, askamata tehei shotfa imo b'mitzvah, v'shalom yeh b'neim. It sounds like he says, if you can't convince her, then there's nothing to do.
I wonder if this was the other way around. If it was the woman wanted to give and the guy would say, listen, I don't want you to give,
right,
what would the answer be? Would the answer be, the or you're the husband, you can tell you put down your foot and say no, you don't do it.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't see why not. Aside from the fact that I think the majority of kidney donors are male, they are. Not for the least reason, because they won't let, I think they prefer not to have a woman who's still in the age of pregnancy.
Their magazines are half and half for sure.
Yeah? That doesn't mean anything, though.
So I'm saying their PR material is very full of women.
From
mothers of seven and up.
Maybe, but from what I read, the statistics are just purely based on, you know, like we were talking about last time, who they prefer to get from, it's males. Because for women, you could have other kinds of health issues that, you know, having two kidneys is probably a good idea. Or just stop not having undue surgeries. That's what I read. So that's in terms of Moshe Schnurbach. So he says, Midat Chasidut. The Rav Asher Weiss goes a little bit higher. Okay? Not all the way up, but I think higher. He says, Binogei L'chumat Kiliya Lulei Demistafina. Anybody know what that phrase means without looking in the English? It's a famous phrase, Lulei Demistafina. It's a nice, catchy phrase that rabbis use sometimes. It means, if I weren't afraid. It's Aramaic for if I weren't afraid. And it's a code word for, this is what I really think, but I can't say it outright. Lulei Demistafina Mechavrai Haya Libi Notesh Hayom Chiyuv Gamur Hu. I think that it's a Chiyuv Gamur. Dekol HaMechkarim Mechuchim Shehasakana L'Torayim Ktana Me'od Kimat Znicha V'Hasikud L'Hatzil G'dola Me'od. I should give context over here. He's not saying for everybody. He's saying that if you have a special relationship with the person, such that you're an actual relative of the person, it's a brother or a child or a father or whatever, he thinks that, he says, if I wasn't afraid, I would say, Chiyuv Gamur. Now, why would he say Chiyuv Gamur?
He's saying it, but he's trying to
Yeah, he means it. Why would he say it's a chiyuv gamur? Now, I gave you the context. Why would he say it's a chiyuv gamur? Okay, but does that mean that I... Ah, very good. So yeah, so how does that help that it's a family member? Well, remember some of the conditions that we gave before, right? What are the conditions? What were the conditions that we said before? We said... Yeah, the person has to be in front of you. So here, there's a relative. You know the person. You have a relationship with the person. They're there. It's not like a random stranger. It's your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, whatever. So they're right in front of you. You don't have a stam relationship with them. So that, you know, that takes care of that. So that may be one of the major factors. Skip Rav Yaakov Ariel for a second, because there's another Rav Asher Weiss on the bottom. This is in his first volume of Tshuvas. So he says, "Pirsamti ba'avaret da'ati l'gabi tshumat kiliot, a'idei b'nei mishpacha. I have spoken in the past about how I support kidney donation for relatives. Even though we should be encouraging this, asur litzor matzav shel lachatz mishpachti v'chevrati, shebo yargiu shebnei mishpacha shem uchiyavin litrom. We should not be creating an avira where the person feels an obligation. V'im lo yasu ken chotim him. And they shouldn't feel like if they don't do it, then it's like they're sinning. Because he doesn't necessarily think it's a chiyuv gamur, I guess. And also because, you know, I don't know. Right, but we did see that he did say,
and then you also said the family category
is
something different.
Yeah, I agree. There's a tension over here. He did write this first and then he wrote that afterwards. It could be that he somewhat changed his mind. But no, but he still feels pretty strongly about this. And I've seen others say this. I think we even have it over here, that you shouldn't be pressuring people to give a kidney. Remember that podcast? I sent Jake a podcast, This American Life. It's a fictional story, obviously. And the story was this mother who had a problematic heart. She needed a heart transplant. A heart transplant is usually the only way to get a heart transplant is from somebody who died. So the son, this is like, they're all Jews in this story. Like, it's clear that they're all Jews. I don't think it's ever said. No, you can hear from the names and the way they're speaking. The son is sitting in the hospital, you know, like distraught, with his two aunts, right? His wife, his mother's sisters. And they start haranguing him that, you know, you have a good heart. you know, she would do this for you, and she's done so much for you in your life. You know, how can, you know, this is a great opportunity. And he's like, well, what about me? But over the course of the story, it's fiction. Like, basically, everybody kind of tells him to do it until finally decides to do it. And the doctor's like, wow, this is great that you're doing this. And he's expecting the doctor to tell him, you can't do this. And they take it. Yeah. And then I think in the story, it doesn't work.
And they give it to a kid.
Yes.
The kid better have it than you.
I think you'll agree that it's better for the kid to have it than you. It's a sad but funny story. This source over here I have in the middle, I have a bunch of it. Rav Yaakov Ariel actually, Dafka, wrote this article this year.
Tchumen,
Ramat Gan. He's one of the major religious Zionist rabbis. He came close to being the chief rabbi, but he was too old. You see all these volumes we have over here of Tchumen? So Tchumen is a publication, that's debatable. It was put out by Tzomet. Tzomet is famous for making, you know, the devices, led by Rav Rosen. And every year they would come out with these volumes, brilliant volumes, with all kinds of articles about halakha and hashkafa by all different kinds of rabbis, religious Zionist rabbis, Haredi rabbis, everybody. A very, very nice, diverse group. My impression was that once Rav Zen died last year, that they weren't going to put them out. But apparently they did put one out. Lamed Tet is from this year. And I was looking online to see if I can get a free copy, and I couldn't. But on the Tchumen website, they have something called Tchumen Plus. If you pay 72 shekel a year, you can read everything. So I said, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it, not only just for this article, but like I can now read it whenever I want. I can read anything. So I was able to read most of this article. This was like an hour ago. So I quickly copied and pasted. And let's read this together. I know what he says already, but let's see what he says. He says, Mistabera davar, shechiv lo tamar adam riyacha chal rak... What? It's on page 6. In the middle, there's a long piece. Mistavar adaber shechiv lo tamen adam riyacha, chal rak la'achar shenotra zika ishit bin ha'adam l're'o ha'mesukan. So this is what we said, that lo tamen adam riyacha only applies once you have some kind of connection with the person. So you don't have a stam connection with the person, then the chiyuv of lo tamen adam riyacha, which is a chiyuv, or rather it's a lo tase, that you can't avoid, it doesn't apply, it doesn't exist. So and that would be the main reason why not everybody has to go running out and doing it. If you go for a walk in the desert, you don't have to load up with water to give it to everybody. It's a nice thing to do. You know, it's Chabad, but that you don't have to do it. There's a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Kitir e, yachol afilu mirachok, tamadomar kitifka. It says kitir e when you see, but then it says kitifka. Tifda means that you have to actually encounter them. Ikitifka yechol pigia mamash. Do you have to actually run into the person? Like you have to physically touch them? Tamunumar kitir e. That's what, there's a tension between kitir and kitifka. You have to be in proximity with them. Vezviriya sheesh papigia. Shiru chachamim echad mishevo mechza vamil. Vzehu ris. Okay, it's about 150 meters. That was in the context of the Midbar. That was in the context of where you're actually seeing them or you see them drowning or something like that. But further than that, you don't have any chiyuv. V'kach gam b'tshumat kliya, he says. Ein shum zika yishira ben klav b'nei adam l'chol ha'am esuyam. L'kach ein chiyuv ishi al kol adam l'chom kliya. Af mi shenit mit na... Now here's the trick. This is the irony over here. Ach mi shehit nadev l'ikanes l'rishimat ha'tormim. Once you put your name on the list... That's a great mitzvah. And your tissue samples match up with a sick person. It's a chiddush, but he's saying that creates the zika, that creates the relationship. Now, he doesn't say this, but this is a huge nafkamina. Because what does that mean? Because what did he say it creates the zika? The match, right? But what does that mean? You know, I might have thought, I'm not sure that somebody willing to give a kidney would do this, but I might have thought that, let's say you put your name on the list, and then they say, we found the match. And then you say, all right, let me see the profile. Might have thought you could still say, no, I want somebody else. I don't want this one. I want to give it to somebody else. I might have thought that you could do that. But if Rav Ariel is right, you can't do that. It's asur. No? He doesn't say this, but it seems to me...
Well, yeah, he does say it. He said if the minute you're on the list, then you're a mechuyav.
What I mean is he doesn't take the next step to actually say it.
No, you're on the list, you're a mechuyav. They say, you match somebody, that's it.
Right. I mean, that's what it seems to be. That's what it would come from him, from what he's saying. What I mean when he doesn't say it, and he didn't say that sentence. What he said was that creates a zika, and now you have lo tam lo dam riyacha. In general, what I'm saying is that means that you can't say no afterwards to anybody, to a single person. It would seem. Once they give you the person, you can't back out. Which is also interesting. That's another thing. Let's say
if you put your name on the list,
count the list.
You can. First of all, you could back out completely if you want.
Okay.
And you could definitely back out from that. I guess you could back out from that person. You could back out from that person.
And you tell you 1,000 times that until you're under.
Right.
They won't even tell why you backed out if you got afraid or anything.
Okay, you got cold feet.
Every reason, but that doesn't. Now you're saying that the obligation was made at the match, and you didn't even know who they were.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe you have to know who they are. I don't know. It was a good point. I don't know. It's a chiddush, but that's what he's saying. Now he's proving the inverse, that you don't have a chiyuv until that happens.
But it's the same thing in the desert. If you're further than 150 meters away and then you put yourself closer, then you're obligated to...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he says a further proof that without that, you don't have a chiyuv. Yesh ulai lavim misanhejana in gimel shechovat ha-matzil hi mitrach umegar aguri. Remember we saw that the Gemara pointed out that the extra obligation that exists when you have lo tamen adam riyacha is that you have to pay. You have to pay somebody. You have to pay a lifeguard to go save the guy if you can't swim. It says, klomar lehotzi hotzaat amanat liskor mishi yuchal atzil. You have to pay somebody who can do it. V'kash hare oto schir Mechuyav gamu latzil batzmo. I don't understand. The lifeguard himself has a chiyuv too. So why do you have to pay him? Forget, maybe he's not a lifeguard. He's a swimmer, right? You see Michael Phelps in the distance. You tell him, go out there and go save the guy. You can do it. Michael Phelps has his own chiyuv if he's Jewish. Says, once that happens, why do I have to pay him? The guy has his own chiyuv. So doch glomer shemeduba begoy or beisrael sheinu buchan hatzil elarak tmurat zachar akorcha sheachiyuv chal beikar amishaya karov lemakom v'ra'at hasakana sheba yani ton hatzil must be that the chiyuv only at first devolves upon the person who is actually close enough. So what you're doing now is you make a phone call to the person who's far away. That person doesn't have a chiyuv. He doesn't even have a chiyuv at all. He shows up, that maybe then it kicks in. But to come to save him, that person has a chiyuv. You have a chiyuv to pay him now. Okay, fine. Now, in the next paragraph, he says, this I was surprised at. He says, I heard somebody say that you don't have to donate a kidney to somebody who's on dialysis. And this is going to get to the heart of one of the point that David made before. It sounds counterintuitive, no? If a person's on dialysis, of course they need your kidney, right? But he says, no. He says, maybe, kevan, shein misukan b'sakanat chayim yadit. But he's not immediate. He has something. He has something to support him. Ukeshlish me'am metupavim de'alitza chayim yoter mechamesh shanim. They live for more than 5 years. That's pretty good. So maybe you don't have to. B'taut bi'adel. He says, I think this is a mistake. Cholek chayot shekil yotav enan b'tafkadot hu begeter treifa. A person who, and this is an interesting argument, I can relate this to other tshuvas by Rav Moshe Feinstein, a person who has a sickness in his kidneys, right, he is considered a treifa, which means he is terminally ill. Now the fact that we have machines that can keep the person alive, is it irrelevant? That's irrelevant. He will die of this wound. The it doesn't specify when he will die. Just the doctors say this will kill him eventually. This is an interesting point. He's saying the fact that we have technology that can keep the person alive is irrelevant in terms of his health and in terms of evaluating him as somebody who is rises to the level of lo tamar adam reyacha. The fact that it provides him with artificial life, so to speak, they're irrelevant in terms of the halacha. Interesting.
In the future, maybe you can get a new kidney without having to artificial.
You're saying, what if you can get an artificial kidney? So then does anybody have to give to you? I would argue that then you'd start using common sense. That's where Avraham Weiss would probably come in. Start using common sense. I say that this is an interesting argument because, in general, halacha, how does halacha deal with technology? Now, there's a famous tshuva of Moshe Feinstein about whether or not we say shechianu on fruit anymore at all. In Israel, maybe yes, but in America, everything is available all year round. Yeah, I can get whatever I want whenever I want. So how can I say shechianu? So he argues. It's not sofit. He uses this basically to give us an excuse to say Shachianu on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. So he's willing to say this at least that far, but not necessarily all the way. He says, the fact that we have refrigeration, the fact that we have greater import skills, does not change the fact that fruits are inherently seasonal. They are. They're inherently seasonal. We don't grow, or without technology, we can't grow strawberries all year round. So strawberries still have a season. The fact that you can refrigerate them and keep them around, that shouldn't change the fact that they're seasonal, and that's how he gets around allowing us to make a Shachianu at least on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. Debatable whether or not you can make it on other nights. And here in Israel, not everything is available all year round, so it might be different. So just to summarize, we got from saying that, you know, you wouldn't be allowed to give a kidney to Rav Sternbach saying it's definitely a midat chasidut, it's a good thing. Mishnah Berurah saying, you know, don't be too careful about your health, basically. To Rav Asher Weiss saying that he thinks that luli de mistafina, it might be a chiyuv gamor, especially when it's a family member. To Rav Yaakov Ariel seemingly saying that the moment you put your name on the list, you're going to basically cause a situation where you have to give the kidney. Because somebody's gonna, you're gonna get a match, and then you have lo tamar adam riecha. And once you enter into lo tamar adam riecha, you have to give it. Now there are those that disagreed. You know, Rav Schoenbach says, and based on the shach, you could argue that I never have to give up an aver, right? That's the mitigating factor, right? I could always say I don't have to because I don't have to give an aver. But that aside, if we don't say that, according to Rav Yaakov Yael, you might even have a chiyuv. In certain circumstances. Okay.
It's very much because the risk is so low these days.
Right. Now, to whom should I give? So, this is a discussion that that Jake and I had at some point about whether or not this was a factor. You know, Eric, the other member of our community that gave, he also told me that he it's funny, he WhatsApped me once saying, Rabbi, I want to talk to you about something. It's not immediate right now. We don't have to talk about it right now. I'm in America, but when I get back, we can schmooze about it. And I said, sure. And then he just never followed up. But he told me, when I went to visit him afterwards, he said that's what he wanted to ask me about. The question of if there's priority. In other words, when you give, so the organization asks you, because you know it's like almost like a questionnaire, do you have any preferences about to whom you want to give? And it's somewhat of a surprise to people. You know, I never thought about that. I don't know. I just wanted to give my kidney. Unless you had someone in specific in mind that you were giving it for, if you decide to give altruistically, may not be something that you thought about. To whom do I want to give? Does the halakha have anything to say about this? What do you think? What do you expect the halakha would say about this?
Jewish, not Jewish, probably.
Okay.
So who would... Somebody desperate, more in need than somebody else.
Maybe. Okay.
Well, it's like ani er hakodmim, like.
Okay. Yeah.
How close you are to the person.
All right. So now, once we start this, we have to finish. We can't stop in the middle. So let's do this. All right. The source that you have to know in order to figure out the theoretical halacha, okay, in terms of in theory the way this should work, is Mishnah in Harios. It's the last Mishnayot in Harios. Shariot is a small masachta that not everybody learns. You don't learn it in yeshiva usually. It's the last masachta in the Zikin. And the last Mishnah at the end over there says as follows. Ha'ish, the last two Mishnayot. Ha'ish kodem le'isha l'hachayot ul'hashiv avida. These are the laws of kedima, of priorities, triage. Who goes first in terms of certain things? So the first thing that we're talking about is in terms of saving lives, and returning lost objects. In other words, if you come upon two people, or two lost objects, and you know one of them belongs to a man, one of them belongs to a woman, or you see two people drowning, one is a man and one is a woman, halacha states, ha'ish kodem la'isha la'achayot u'la'ashiv abida. You save the man first, and you return the object to the man first. Fine. Va'isha kodem la'ish l'ksut u'la'otziyah mi'beit ha'shevi. On the other hand, if you come across a man and a woman, and they don't have clothes, and they need clothes, or they're in captivity, they're being held hostage, so the woman goes in front of the man. Bizman sheshneim omdim lekalkala, ha'ish kodem la'isha, when they're exposed to degradation, meaning that the problem of the captivity is that they're also, they're going to be, the best word for this, they're going to be embarrassed, and they're going to lose control of themselves, and etc., etc., then the man goes first. Now, each of these cases, right, the Gemara goes into trying to figure it out. Just off the top of my head, the reason why the man's, why do you think the man is preferred over the woman for saving the life? Doesn't sound great, right? But yeah. Why do you think it is?
If he's the wage earner of the family or something like that.
Well, it doesn't have to be in the same family. Man is more mitzvot. That's it. That's the calculus. So Gemara says the man has more mitzvot. He's chayav in more mitzvot. You have to pick something to determine what you're going to go by. So that's why. In terms of the shevi, beit ha-shevi, the woman is at more risk when she's in captivity of being raped, etc., etc., than the man. So that's why you save her. In other words, there's a logical, reasonable reason. It doesn't come off very nicely, But you have to say something. Nothing was going to come off nicely when making any of these decisions. The next Mishnah says, Kohen kodem lelevi, levi liyisrael, yisrael lamamzer, mamzer lenatin, natin leger, ger lo evid mishuchrar. Here is your, you know, your table of priorities in terms of people of the same gender. There's just men, right? So, Kohen lelevi.
There's people drowning in the wedding. Is there a coin here? Is there a coin here?
Good. So it's good. So hold on. So that this is the theoretical halacha. What? A natin is a person who is who converted, but we are actually they're both converted. Natin is a convert. Natin is a convert from a long time ago. Natin was a whole section of people that converted to Judaism. But we are suspicious of their conversion. But by now, they're traditional Jews. They're not that first category. They converted a long time ago, and their descendants are full Jews. But they're somewhat of a suspicious conversion. The original conversion was suspicious, so they take precedent over new converts because they're Jewish. They just are kind of a different class. And ger levin mishuchrar to a freed slave. Okay, so there's this table. This is the theoretical way that we deal with it. What are we talking about? When they're mamash the same. In other words, it's the same danger to all of them. Now, David, you point out, now, how do you go about doing this in real life? You know, they're all, you yell out, who's a Kohen? No, so obviously if you know one is a Kohen, that would be the easiest way. You don't cause everybody danger by, you know, wasting time and trying to figure it out. But, okay.
Where's the non-Jew in this list?
He's not on the list. He's not on the list.
The slave's on the list.
The slave is actually half Jewish, if he's mishuchrar. Freed slave is half Jewish. The one change in the factor is that even the lowest class can rise up if he's a Talmud Chacham, because that is a value even more than yichus. Right, the Yichus of Kohen Levi in Israel, Talmud Torah is of more value than even Yichus. So, based on this, it seems pretty clear that the Torah has a priority list of who should be prioritized over anybody else, which means that if you were answering the questionnaire, so you should put at the top of the list a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Talmud Chacham should be at the top of the list. That's who I want to save. That's it, right? And then at the bottom should be the Eben Shuchar or a non-Jew. We'll get there. That should be it, right? So is that what you have to do when you are deciding to give a kidney? So I emailed my best friend, Simi Shabtai, who asked his brother, who had just given a kidney, who's also a rabbi, and I asked him, you know, can you ask David to give me sources for this topic? And David's entire response, David wrote a book. David Shabtai is a doctor, rabbi. He wrote a book on brain death, all right? He's holding. All he could say was, look up Rabbi Arya Leibowitz's Shira on Wayu Torah. He has everything you need to, you need. So I did. And he quotes this Mishnah, which, you know, Baruch Shekivanti, because I thought of the Mishnah by myself, but he quotes this Mishnah and he says, but is this really the case? So he says, he argues, no. He says, this Mishnah is not necessarily the guiding light for what the halacha should be because, well, it is, but we have to focus on three words. Which three words in the Mishnah are the most important words? Bizman shekulan shavin. All right, which means you come upon a body of water, right? You come into the pool and you see that, for example, there's a man there and there's a woman there, and they are equally bad at swimming, and they are both flailing. They got in at the exact same time, and that's how you make your decision. But tell me something: what happens if one of them, you know, let's say the man is an Olympic swimmer? And there's no way out. There's no way out. He's in danger. There's no doubt that he's in danger, but there's no way out. But he's going to be fine treading water for another hour, right? And then the woman is flailing around. Do you really think that the halakha would be that you go in there and you get the man out first and let the woman drown, potentially? No, obviously not. That's not im kulan shavin. Kulan shavin means that they have to be equal. Of course, in that situation, you go and you get the woman, then you go back and you get the man. What's the case with the kidney donations? What if you don't put anything on the list? What will happen? What will the doctors do?
Whoever's on the list, whoever's the most
in need.
Yeah.
Whoever's the most in need will get the next kidney. So if you just sit back and let the doctors do it, that's what they'll do. They'll find the person who's most in need. And that's the way that the halacha actually is. If you take a look, skip the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch Yoredei, Reishon Aleph, Yud Aleph. This is an halachot of, actually, no, this is basically our case. Im ba lefaneinu met b'ra'av, chayav l'hachiyoto, av apishu safek im yechsa l'tamin chacham achar kach. If a person who is not a Talmud Chacham comes in front of you and he's dying of hunger, you have to give him food, even if it means that it will be less for the Talmud Chacham who shows up later, or even who is in front of you, but one of them is dying. What does that mean? That means that the Shulchan Aruch is saying you do triage. You figure out who needs it most. Whoever needs it most, they're the ones who get it. So that was Rabbi Leibowitz's first argument. He went to Rav Nevin Sal. And Rav Nevin Sal, he asked Rav Nevin Sal if he thought this was right. And before he could even say it, Rav Nevin Sal said the exact same thing, exact same svara. He said, no, of course you have to give it to who needs it the most. He also went to Rav Willig, who said the same thing. Rav Willig, Mordechai Willig is one of the Rosh Hashim in YU. He went to a different rabbi in Yerushalayim who told him, no, Mishnah is the Mishnah. You have to follow the Mishnah. You have to give it to the Talmud Chacham. The Guru is Talmud Chacham. That's who you should give it to. That's why we have a Mishnah. That's what you have to do. Okay, fine. The Bir HaGra, by the way, explained the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch comes from the words Bizman Shekulan Shavin. That's where the Shulchan Aruch gets this idea that you have to give it to the person who's dying of hunger over a Talmud Chacham, because that's what Kulan Shavin means. So the Gra, that's the Gra who says that. So you're basing this on the Gra. The Shach makes a different point, which is, I think, what Andrew was saying. I think Nira Dahainu Midina. That's the din. The Gemara is the din. However, Bizman Hazeh, Shein Talmid Chacham Afilu Le'inyan Litra De'Dava. He says it in a different way. He says, we don't have Talmid Chachamim anymore. This is the Shach saying this. We don't have Talmid Chachamim anymore. Kol Shekein Shein Litchot Pekuach Nefesh Mipanav Vavle Ki'ish L'Ksut Ve'ish Al-Achayot O'Yipcho Da'amrinu B'Yushalmi De'Oto Shal-Achayot Kodem. Whoever comes first, comes first. First in line goes first. We don't have the capacity to make these decisions anymore. What are you going to do? What are you going to put on the list? I want the biggest Talmud Chacham. How do you figure this out? You go around checking people's tzitzis, you give them a bechina. There's a practical issue over here. How do you even implement something like this? There's at least two other issues. One is klape the Torah. Rav Willig said that, you know, he was concerned that if you tell a person this, tell a person that wants to give a kidney, that you have to, you know, this is the proper way to do it, that may turn the person off. They may say, I don't like this. I'm not into this. The other thing is there's a PR concern over here. And here you have to be careful. You know, what if it got out that, okay, Orthodox Jews only give, not only do they only give to Jews, but they only give to Talmidei Chachamim or to Kohanim and then Leviim. Now, on the one hand, it shouldn't matter. If that's the halacha, that's the halacha. We shouldn't be afraid. On the other, you do have to be a little bit concerned.
You said the halacha says, Bizman Shekulam Shavim.
No, I'm saying, let's say we ignored that for a second. Let's say we said, no, the halacha is that you have to give to the Kohen Talmud Chacham. Would we say maybe that, okay, but not if it's going to cause a PR scandal? So there, you could go of two ways. You know, on the one hand, you might say, I don't care about a PR scandal. That's the halacha is the halacha because that's the halacha. The other hand, you may say, no, nowadays you can't be too careful. And we'll get to that soon when we get to the non-Jews. The counter-argument, though, and this is not a full counter-argument, I will say about the Jews versus non-Jews, for example, Rabbi Leibowitz said he always wondered, you know, isn't it, in America they have something called Project Renewal. Here in Israel it's not a big deal to say we only give to Jews because most of the people here are Jews. But in Chutz La'aretz, less than 1% of the population is Jewish. Right? So if you say I'm only giving to Jews, it's a little bit strange. There's something called Project Renewal in America, which is basically this. It's a Jewish organization where they handle their own list of Jews who are looking for kidneys, and Jews donate and give to Jews. And Rabbi Lud said, you know, he was concerned, like, isn't this going to cause anti-Semitism? Because, you know, it's not so nice, you know, we only give to ourselves. And he said, lehefech. He spoke to a professor, a doctor, who's a African-American, a black doctor, who said when he saw this, he was inspired and he's trying to do it in his own community. He said, this is wonderful. This community takes care of itself. And we should do the same thing. Every community should take care of themselves the way that they take care of themselves. So, you know, sometimes these things don't go exactly the way that you think they're going to go. I did bring this Rav Moshe. We won't read it inside. This Rav Moshe talks about triage And he basically doesn't get to the Mishnah until the situation is that Kulan Shavin. In other words, he says, okay, first in line goes first, and then you have to figure out who's a Chol HaSheyesh B'Sachana, Chol HaShein B'Sachana, who basically is not going to survive anyways, versus who is going to survive if you do something. He, that's a serious consideration, I assume, in emergency room triage. You know, if it's determined that somebody is too far gone to help, then they don't go to the top of the list necessarily. And Rav Moshe validates that. And he only gets to the Mishnah Harios when he says, all other things ruled out, Tamil Chacham, fine. But until you got there, you have a lot of things to go through. I did want to get to... there's a couple of things over here. I'm not going to read everything inside. I did have a piece over here about when a parent objects. So some say that you have to listen to the parents. That's Rav Zilberstein. He says you have to listen to the parents. We'll see that Rav Ariel disagrees. He thinks that you don't have to. Rav Usher Weiss, just in a different context, talking about tzedakah in general, he says the principle of aniye ircha. So many of the poskim said that aniye ircha, which is those who are closest to you. In other words, not even those who are relatives, but, Ranana, right? Let's say we should have our own list for Ranana. People that are looking for kidneys in Ranana, and those who live in Ranana should give first to those people. So many poskim said that. Rav Usher Weiss disagrees. He basically says that in terms of staka and in general, he says it doesn't apply anymore. That applied when you had every community was off on its own, and people, in Mimes didn't talk to people in Rhines, and they didn't talk to people in Argentina, right? But nowadays, Facebook, everybody knows everybody. There's no such thing. Half of my friends are in America, right? So am I going to claim that Israel is aniye yircha and America is not aniye yircha? If my best friend lives in America and I know everything that happens to him in his life? So Rav Usher Weiss kind of blurs the lines over there, and it doesn't sound like he thinks that that should be really a consideration with regards to who you give to. You have this article that I told you of Ariel. He wrote this long article all about these considerations. So he says over here, the minhag in batei cholim is that you let the person pick who he wants to give to. Fi halacha lo rak shemutar lo la'adif et krovo, ela adaraba chovato la'adif oto al asher midin mibsacha al titalem. So he says your first responsibility should be to a relative. Your chayav, to prefer your relative. So he disagrees. He says that your city comes first. Interesting. This is kind of like almost like ayin tachadayin. If you damage a person's kidney, so you now have a chiyuv to give him your kidney.
I understand.
If you punch somebody in the kidney, right, and now he needs a kidney. You punch him in both his kidneys. I don't know. You punch him in both his kidneys. You're the first one who has. You have to give him a kidney. Not as ayin tachat ayin, but because you created a relationship with the person. Now it's that zika that he was talking about. Again, chiddush. Okay, created a zika. Would you say the same thing about if you were a boss and you fired somebody and now they're poor? Do you have to give them tzedakah? Isn't that the same thing? No. But that's what he says. Interestingly, Omnam kshomedet delfanav atarem habreira ben chol yisrael lechol enochri. What if you have in front of you a Jew and a non-Jew? Alav adif Yisrael, he should prefer the Jew. Achim yesh chol enochri shirikmotav matimot ayilu shel atarem ve'en karega Yisrael nizkak lekiliato. You're a match for a non-Jew, and at the moment you're not a match for a Jew. Yesh litrom lenochri v'lo lamtin ad sheYisrael matim. You give it to the non-Jew, and you don't wait for a Jew to show up. Now, what's the reason? What's the reason that you have to do this? So, Ariel seems to give a few different reasons. He doesn't want to rely on only one. The first one is the most banal. He says, what if it would come out?
Somebody was
going to
die and you didn't give it
to him. Yeah. It would cause a lot of hatred. ובימינו החשש לאיבה עלול להביא לסכנת נפשות ממשית, בגלל כלי התקשורת המהירים והרשתות שבכל הארץ יצא קבם ובקצה תבל מלהם. It wouldn't take 5 minutes for this to get out and be heard around the world. ואם חלילה יוודא שבקצה העולם יהודי נמנע מלהציל גוי בשבת, you know what happened in Tinac a few years ago? That the guy was, I think what happened was that he was, what happened, his clothing was stuck in the trunk of a car or something, he was, and he couldn't get out, and it was a non-Jew, it was in Tinac, and he asked the Jew, can you open the trunk? And the guy said he couldn't. The guy said he couldn't. Now, I don't think it was danger, but it caused the problem. There had to be some explanation, you know? I think he may have gone to get help, but he wouldn't do it himself. I think that was the case. He went to get help, but he wouldn't do it himself. תתפשט מיד הידיע מקצה העולם ויד קצה ובתחל לפעור הסתה שתתפשט כאש בשדה קוצים. Like wildfire. והדבר עלול לעלות בחיי אדם. Now he says, לא מדובר רק באיבה מילולית, אלא בהצלת נפשות של חולים ישראלים. And I'm not even talking about that they're going to attack us. And they're going to talk bad about us. והם לפנינו מצפים בכליון עניינים לתשומה שתציל לחיים. כשיש הדדיות, ישראל תורם לנוכרי ובמקביל גם נוכרי תורם ישראל. It's not only just that they're going to attack us, but what about the inverse situation? What if a non-Jew gets up and says, well, if you're not going to give to us, then we're not going to give to you. And he puts in footnote 15, I put it on the sheet, he says there's actually an example of this, that in Uruguay, apparently, there's a rule that if somebody dies, if somebody has brain death, then there. This is what Barbara was talking about, I guess. What she said just happened in the UK now. Barbara said last week that in the UK they made a new law that if you don't specifically opt out, then you're automatically opted in for organ donation after death. So apparently there's a law in Uruguay that after brain death, Misha made mavet mochi evarav yilkechu litzorach hatzalat cholim mesukanim. That after brain death, that's. Oh, I think he's just pointing out that brain death is considered death, and they'll take your organs. Alem kenem mishpacha mitnagedet. Yudim notim lachtom al siruv mishum sheladatam ramat harufua baruguay nofelat mizu shebarzot mitkadmot. Is that they don't trust the Uruguayan doctors, so the Jews opted out and they say we don't want you to take our organs from us when we're still alive. Vehem choshishim sheever minatlu hadavam orer sarat ruchot b'tzibur, and this caused the problem. Ad kitei kach shekamat nuat tziburit, there's a whole social group hakoret limnoa shtalat evarim chiyuniim begufam shel cholim yehudim, who say we shouldn't allow Jews to receive organs because they don't give, they don't donate, so they shouldn't get. This is, you know, almost I don't want to say sanctioned anti-Semitism, but almost, you know, understandable anti-Semitism. L'dat Rambam bikur choli akum mutar lo rak mishum eva ala mishum darkei shalom. He mentions the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't use the word Eva. He says Darkei Shalom. Darkei Shalom is a step up. It doesn't sound like the Rambam is saying that it's morally your obligation to give, but he is saying it's, you know, Darkei Shalom. It's the normal thing to do. We need What's to Eva? Be... Well, Eva is hatred. So that's mamash anti-Semitism. So this is kind of a step up from that. It's saying Darkei Shalom umidat harachamim. This is the right thing. It's the compassionate thing to do, to give to the non-Jew. And given that it's not dangerous, there's no reason not to. I did see on one message board of a Beit Hora'a on the internet, like basically, you know, it's one of these Ask a Shailas to the rabbis. So, and it wasn't Stam, you know, a message board with just a bunch of kooks. This is rabbis that say that there could be a reason not to give, which is lo techanein, that we're not supposed to give gifts to non-Jews. It's a general rule, which itself is undone usually when there's Eva involved, but he said a reason not to give in a vacuum would be Lo Techaneim. We don't give gifts. Debatable whether Lo Techaneim applies when there's life at stake, but okay.
A friend of ours' brother was killed in a terrorist attack.
And right.
Gave his organs to whatever, and one of the people he saved was a Palestinian
child. Yeah, I remember stories like that come out often. He says, to the degree that we actually, there's, you know, the rabbis say you're supposed to visit non-Jews when they're sick, and we should take care to make sure that they get buried. In other words, we take care of them. Mipnei Darkei Shalom. The Rambam says, we take care of them because of Darkei Shalom. Okay, the last part over here is he deals with a situation where the parents are against. What should you do? So he says, says in general, with regards to the mitzvah of kibud av v'em, when the parents don't want you to do something, but it's not a situation where they get any hana'a from you not doing it. In other words, you know, a parent says, you know, I don't know, I want you to drive me to the doctor, right? So there you have to do it because that gives them hana. But if they say, you know, I don't want you to go skydiving, right? Or I don't want you to go, that's a bit, you know, I don't want you to eat peas. I don't like peas. It makes me uncomfortable when you eat peas. Even when you're not in front of me, I don't want you to eat peas. You don't have to listen to them. You don't have to listen to a parent who says that you don't want you to eat peas just because they don't want you to. It's not. It doesn't give them a direct hana. So he says, what? Hana is like benefit. Like, in other words, driving them to the doctor, buying them food, that's something that you have to do for them. But them restricting you from doing something because they don't like it, that doesn't rise to the level of hana'a that you are chayav to be mechabed, that you have to respect them in that way, that you have to follow their wishes like that. No. There are rules about what they can ask you to do. Now, you know, when you're a child, those rules might be a little bit different because they have authority over you. But when you're adult, you still have to... Newsflash, we still have to be mechabed our parents even when we are adults. We still have to be mechabed our parents. If they need something from us, we have to do it for them. However, if they just want us not to do something because they don't like it, they don't. Your parent does not want you to work for Apple. Why? Because they like Microsoft. They don't like Apple. They're against Apple. They don't like the fact that they have sweatshops in China, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you now have? Are you not allowed to work for Apple? No, you're allowed to work for Apple. Your parent is not allowed to tell you. You don't have to listen to them if they tell you that you're not allowed to work for Apple. So what if they tell you, I don't want you to give a kidney? So he says they don't get any hana from that. You should tell them, you know, support me in this. It's a great mitzvah. However, with one mitigating factor, in the last paragraph, he says, Ka'amur, im echad mehem ragish ma'od, if one of your parents is extremely sensitive, ubefrat, im hayadia shebenam taram kliya alula la'alot b'chashash l'chayehem, if it could endanger their life because they're so sensitive, ein litrom. Why would you put a stranger's life over your parents? If you really think that it's going to cause them you know, psychological and physical damage, then there's no reason to put them over your parents. And that's how he ends that. All right? We did a lot tonight. And there's a lot to do.
Yeah, your call. Like these parents that every little thing they start, you know, doing manipulation.
Of course.
Know, don't marry that guy.
So that's what he's talking. So that's what he's talking about. You don't have to listen. You don't have to listen. So right away, you're going to kill me. Right. So you have to be serious. You have to be serious.
So when an adult is what? From Bar Mitzvah?
What does it matter? The point is that you have to be mechabed to your parents even after they're adults.
Yeah, but not in these concepts that you're describing.
Right, now look, if your parent, if you're a child and your parent tells you, I don't want you trying out for the soccer team because I'm scared. Right. So they should listen to you because you're the adult and you're the parent and, you know, but do they have a halachic obligation to listen to you? You know, yesh. I think, although that they're not 13, then for sure not. They have to listen to you. So there's a mitzvah involved. They have to listen to you because there's a mitzvah involved, right? But if you're, you know, you absolutely have, she doesn't have to listen to you because you're a parent. She has to listen to you because that's the halakha, right? If a parent tells a child, I don't want you eating cheeseburgers, it's not about the parent anymore. She shouldn't eat cheeseburgers. But if the parent tells a 10-year-old child, right? I don't want you going to yeshiva. The child doesn't listen to the parent. That's an extreme example. Parent tells the child, I don't want you trying out for the soccer team. So there's debatable, right? I think the child should listen because that's the relationship between the parent and the child. On the other hand, it might not be covered by kibud av v'em. Unless, you know, you can make arguments that, like, you know, the parent has to watch out for the child, there's a reputation. You can make arguments like that, but ultimately, not sure. Shkoyach.